Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 3, The Queen's Justice. But which queen?
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, I am exhausted. That episode was crazy.
Yeah.
Holy breakneck speed, Batman. Oh my gosh.
Loving it.
Awesome. Well, welcome back, guys. We got a lot to talk about this week. The war rages on. The battle lines are being drawn. My name's Kyle Maddock. I'm gonna be your host for this little shindig, and I got these lovely people joining me today.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Dave Child. You can follow me at MrDaveChild or DaveChild.com, because my name is Dave Child.
Hi, everybody. Bala Mugudas. I'm Ryan Malady. You can find me everywhere at Ryan Malady. And thank you so much for commenting on our YouTube, subscribing, and giving us a thumbs up if you like what you see. Yeah. We have someone sitting live at YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Take it away, Amber.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us here. I didn't know we were doing finger guns today.
Oh yeah, that's a finger gun.
Didn't get the finger guns memo. I am Amber Plaster. I will be your chat maester today. And as always, be careful because the chat is lit and full of spoilers. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Amber Plaster or on Instagram at Amber Plaster.
Easy enough. I
like
it.
Because I have a weird last name, so awesome. I have all the usernames.
Great.
There you go. Hey, same
Amber,
here.
Dave, thank you guys so much for returning. We missed
You're
you last
welcome.
Week.
You're welcome.
Thanks for not being here last week.
Sorry.
Jeez.
I was in the desert. You were at Comic-Con, I was in the desert.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Wait, why?
I don't need to say.
Okay. He was in the desert.
Getting healed by Samwell.
Oh, what happens in the desert?
My gosh, guys. We got a lot. I feel like this was a 90-minute episode.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Lots going on.
Wow. So let's start at Dragonstone, where we finally have the meeting of aunt and nephew that we have been waiting for so long.
The dragon aunt and the winter's nephew.
Or king and queen, lover and lover.
Oh, God.
I still want them to be together. I feel like they will.
I think
like
you and a lot of people believe want that still.
We've been waiting for this meeting.
Yeah. God, that would be so hot.
This wasn't a very romantic introduction to these two meeting each other here.
It's just sexual tension
right
now.
Yeah, it's
right
a nice
now.
Little like conflict. It starts with conflict, and then it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit by the end.
You did see, like, by the second time they meet, there was a nice little, like, oh, I see you moment. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, when he's when he's brooding, and she's like...
He's like, I'm not good at what I... It was like, everyone loves to do what they're good at. And then he's like, I don't. And then she's like, oh, damn. Look at him brood.
He's good looking brooding.
No, but it was kind of like Tyrion talked to each of them aside and was like, he likes you, she likes you. And like the second meeting, they're all like softened.
Passing notes.
I love it if they go to Winterfell and it's like, a raven from the queen. Do you like me? Check yes, no, or maybe.
I like seeing the reunion between Tyrion and Jon Snow.
Yeah, that's how this scene starts off. And we get the meeting between them. And you can tell there's a friendship there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're both, you know, one's a bastard and one's a bastard in his father's eyes.
All dwarves are bastards in their father's
eyes. Exactly. So, and they've both been through so much and they can see it in each other. Like, well, wow, look at you. Hand of the queen down here. Well, look at you. King of the North. Look at that. Like, you come back at a high school reunion and all your friends are like super successful. Like,
hey!
No way. That's great.
How'd you do that? Lots of blood. You know what I did like about this scene? Did we get the end of the whole controversy of the Sansa Tyrion marriage here in a kind of a side little
note?
It was like, it was never consummated. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to your sister.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just in case you were wondering. Yeah, no, nothing happened.
Nothing ever happened. I also like the awkwardness. It was like, it's nothing happened. It happened. Nothing happened. It happened. Okay, let's move on. Like, he stumbled over himself,
which was a
nice little like moment.
It was a mutual understanding. We both went our separate ways. It was mutual. We're all good.
Yeah.
No hard feelings.
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, so I guess that kind of puts that to rest. That will never come up again.
It always was, right? I mean, for us, I guess the viewers, we knew it wasn't consummated.
Yep.
But who was it?
And is that the law of the land there?
I think they've just kind of come to accept it. I think one of the things that we're learning from Game of Thrones is once you become the ruler, people tend to just be like, they're in power, so what are we going to do about it? I mean, mm-hmm. we're seeing that happen with Cersei a lot right now, too.
Can I say how much I love that awesome, like, causeway they were walking on? If an army ever has to go up to Dragonstone, they are walking single file up that thing, going down. And then the dragons come flying over.
It was nice to see the dragons. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see people who have never seen dragons before see dragons.
Right. Mm.
That nice little, like, oh...
Yeah.
They do exist.
Because a lot of people I would imagine still have reason to not believe that they're back in the world.
Yeah.
Just like nobody believes John and his...
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's the irony,
like,
right?
Are the
there.
Dragons really back? Or are you just telling everybody so you can, you know, get the leg
It'll
up
be
on...
like Dany when she sees the White Walkers.
Yeah. Mm.
John and the dragons.
Yeah, how is he... He really can't prove that. Until they break down the wall and come on over.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
It's like, hey,
there's
everybody,
Instagram.
Let's take a picnic up beyond the wall and let's go check this guy out. It's like, that's not going to happen.
The only thing I could think that he could do is maybe capture one of the dead who's still walking around and bring him to Dragonstone. But that's not really going to work.
Why can't he bring Bran there?
Yeah, he could bring Bran, but he's like, hey, listen to my handicapped brother. He'll prove it.
Yeah.
I mean, that won't prove it, really.
Well, I feel like he can tell Dany parts of her life that only she knows.
True.
So then him being able to convince her, I feel like, is easier that way.
Because witchcraft always makes people your best friend.
You know...
Yeah.
The first thing I noticed was how we opened up right there with Jon Snow walking on the beaches of Dragonstone. And it's like he got there really... quickly, didn't he? I mean, how big is Westeros?
Chat is very upset about how quickly Jon got
there. It was like, bam! Like,
whatever.
Oh, he's there.
It's months later.
Months, though.
I am over the quick teleportation stuff like that. I just don't care anymore.
That's fine. How many of you read the books?
Yeah, I have. Yep.
So, in the books, it takes a long time for timelines to match up, and I personally appreciate the producers of the show getting to the points that we want to get to, because the books really take their time with things, and so it sucks to see him just magically appear, but at the same time, I'm entertained, so I'm kind of okay with it.
There's this infamous Meereenese knot where George is trying to line up where everyone would arrive in Meereen at the same time, and it delayed the book so long, so I don't think the Game of Thrones viewers want the producers to take an extra year just to figure out how the timeline works out.
All right, HBO, you get a pass on this one.
It's like movie magic. Like, you see this all the time in different films and stuff. You have to suspend the belief and just try to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
Mm. Certain extent, yeah. He did
jump
real fast, though.
I mean, it was
nothing. I didn't notice how fast he got there.
It didn't spend a week. I just assumed we just skipped ahead a couple months, and now we're just a couple months later.
Okay,
that's all I assumed. When you, like, have that giant jump.
Game of Thrones years is, like, seven months to our 1 week. Come on, guys.
So we have, I wrote Miss Sandy, but I think I mean Melisandre, hanging out, watching this all happen from a distance, and she gets approached by Varys. And Varys is like, so, you like this guy so much, why aren't you down there? And Varys kind of knows what's up.
Yeah, and Varys is not a big fan of witches.
And I know.
I think anyone with dark magic, I think he's kind of like, by the way, I don't like you.
Yeah.
you're a big reason why I'm a eunuch. So he's not a big fan of anyone who kind of calls themselves a witch.
He made that clear, but she also made something clear to him that what'd she say? She said, I have to die in this strange country just like you.
Just like you.
Prophecy, boom, bye.
Because we all trust so much in Melisandre's prophecies.
Boom.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, I don't know. I believe her.
She got this one right.
I believe this one because she said, I'm going to die here, and I know you do as well. Because she lumped herself into it. And also because she's trying to make up for her past mistakes.
Exactly. She sort of admitted to them being wrong. And I feel like she was referencing Shireen for sure.
Yes.
Admitting that was a mistake.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like she was saying it in order to get something from Varys. To me, it read as, this is something I know, and you should know, too.
I want to clear things up. A lot of people chatter about the pronunciation of...
Varys.
To each their own.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Varys.
I will pronounce every single.
You say Varys. They say Varys.
I say Varys.
I say Varys.
I started off with Varys, and then you said Varys, so I didn't want to be like, I don't want to. Yeah, just correct him.
Well, we all know who we're talking about.
I became a fan many years before the show, so the way I said it in my head, six nine, however many years ago, is the way I will say it. So I apologize if anybody's offended by my pronunciation.
It doesn't matter.
I will not stand. I will go troll you on the internet.
So John walks into the throne room here, and I didn't blank out, but I was so captivated by the scene, I don't even have any notes for this. What the heck was going on?
What happened?
Holy cow.
It was like a battle between Missandei, like, saying all the nicknames, which took at least a minute or two, versus Davos trying to come up with a
few
lines.
This is Jon Snow.
He's the king of the North.
Oh, yeah, he's the king of the North. That was a great sequence. And you got, the whole time I'm watching this, you're focusing so much on Jon Snow and Daenerys and how they're going to handle each other in this situation. Who's going to come out on top getting what they want. But all I could really think about, though, is how on the boat or in the her small council, they were talking to each other. How am I going to handle this meeting? Like, you got to know that Davos and Jon Snow were like, so should I let you do the talking? Or, how are we going to like sway her? You know, you got to know that they had talks.
I think they were definitely on the way there, just being like, we'll make it up as we go along.
Yeah. Davos was like, that was a good introduction. This guy over here too. So.
Yeah, because he made up for it later. Though.
Right.
Yeah, you could see him warming up to it. He was like, yeah, now I remember all the things John has done. Here's a list of the things he was done. He even came back to life.
No, we're not saying that. We're not saying the came back to life
thing.
Why
do they not want...
Because he already sounds crazy.
Yeah. He already says, like, a army of the dead is coming, led by a Night King, and I came back from the dead. I mean, it's just...
I want to know how they haven't heard that rumor, though. Because a lot of people know it.
It might not have made its way to her, though.
That's a good point.
She's been a little out of the loop. Right. Well, it's going to come up again, obviously.
I think all they know is, like, oh, you became the King of the North. That's all Tyrion knows. And Tyrion would be the one to kind of probably hear about that rumor first. Probably
what about Varys, though? Yeah.
And then Tyrion. But, like, Varys is not going to pass that along because he probably doesn't believe it.
Well, they would have asked more questions. And they said, well, there's this red woman. They're like, well, we know a red woman.
Right.
And also, might have opened up a can of worms on that front.
It's also not important to what John actually needs to get done.
Right.
He doesn't want to bog down explaining how he came back from the dead.
Good point.
When it's like, that doesn't matter. What matters are the people coming back from the dead that wants to kill him.
Yeah, the bad guys that are coming back from the dead. Not the good guy. That's focused on that.
Yeah. Not everybody comes back from the dead.
So this whole scene, I felt, was like recapping the history of the show and what has happened in the previous six seasons and everything. They were kind of like, well, your dad came down here and then this happened and assassins came after me and they tried to kill me. Yeah, well, I was up in the north and I fought the Night King and we get all this and it was like, holy crap, we're just recapping everything.
I also felt like this whole episode was... It just seemed very timely because they kept saying stuff like, we have a big problem that's happening, but we're too busy squabbling, focusing on the little problems, the little wars, when in reality there's something big coming and that's not saving it. And we bring up again and again that sometimes the Night King and the White Walkers might be, stand in for climate change, and I just felt like that's what they were doing. I felt like there was a lot of that, like, there's something big happening, but we're too focused on the tiny little political stuff that's happening in between. I just felt it was very timely.
As Littlefinger says later on, you know, you gotta plan for everything. He says
everything that happens will be something that you've seen before.
Oh man. So John bend that damn knee.
I'm so glad he didn't.
I'm glad he didn't, too, because I think he didn't do it because he knew he would lose the respect of his people.
And her.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And it was sort of, I like what he said, like, I'm not going to hold you responsible for your father's sins, and I'm not going to be held responsible for my ancestors' vows.
Boom.
Yeah.
I think it was very interesting to see her admit that her father was an evil man.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever done that before to anyone that's, like, of importance.
She's asked about that before and had open conversation about the Mad King and what he's done. And it seems like she's open to the idea that he was a terrible person and has changed her mind.
Well, she gained his trust by saying that, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. It definitely catches everybody off guard. when she's like, yeah, my dad was a terrible person. They're like, oh,
It seemed okay? like well, so many. It seemed like so many times, though, he was looking both ways and then was going to kneel.
It would be, I think that if he did kneel right away without knowing her, you know, how can you truly trust a person like that? Bow before me. Okay, sure. It's like,
yeah.
You know, they think they need to, like, I'm glad that it didn't come to that right away because they need to feel each other now in order to truly build trust. In order, like, I really do have your back when the time comes, because you can only win that mutual respect through acting kingly if you are a king, or acting queenly if you are.
And he already turned over his weapons.
Right. Yeah, you know, hey.
It's a huge gift.
Do you guys think that he'll ever bend his knee to her?
I don't, maybe. I think if by the time the North has won over to her, then he would. Because I think there's something that happened in last week's episode, even though I wasn't here to talk about it. It was had that whole, like, when they had all that meeting, and it seemed, I was hearing your conversation, I was listening to a podcast, that I was kept wanting to say something. Because I think...
That's always how it is.
I think they're building up this culture of, in the North, they leave everything on the table. I think that's the culture of the table of
because they
of
sit
the
in
North,
that room for like months.
Which is why
talking.
It seems like Sansa's like, shut
what
up.
God, it's cold.
But the reason why they do that is because they have a belief that we're all in this together. It's very democratic. And so he's not Stannis. He's not someone that wants to be known as king and just be king. He just wants to do what his people want. So he would bend the knee because he doesn't care about being king. But he wouldn't bend the knee because then he'd lose the respect of the North. Mm-hmm. So I think once the North respects her, then he will. I think.
If that's what they want.
Yeah, if that's what they want.
Yeah, go for it. He's like, all right, sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I think they can be allies without him bending the knee also.
True, yeah. Very true.
Yeah, we might, at the end of this, have a whole entirely new democratic structure for Westeros.
Exactly.
No monarchy, maybe no Seven Kingdoms. It could be completely different environment.
I hope it is.
It could become like the Two Kingdoms.
Not if Daenerys is still around. I think she's going to want to be queen of at least most of it.
But Cersei did mention that that Dany considers herself more of a revolutionary than a monarch.
True.
And I think that is good for everyone. But I do think that Dany wants to control everything. But maybe she doesn't want to kill all the innocents, right. She's pointed out.
Yeah.
I was going back through watching, and I saw them talking after the Thrones about the visions that Bran would get. And remember when he touched the tree for the first time and he got all those visions? There was a couple that they mentioned were particularly important. One was the dragon flying over King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, whether it's in the past or in the future, we'll find out soon. And then another was the Iron Throne being just covered in snow. And then she visited again in the tower in the...
Yeah.
Which tower was that? Back in Karth?
Yep.
Spooky Tower.
Spooky Tower.
the House of the Undying.
The House of the Undying, correct. So whatever's going to happen, I think King's Landing is going to get visited by dragons, but that was a summer shot, and the Iron Throne was covered in snow in a winter shot, which means that the roof was destroyed. I don't think the Iron Throne's really going to stand for Daenerys to sit on.
Mm.
Anyway,
ooh.
Moving way past our talking points.
See,
today.
The only thing I could see saying like the Two Kingdoms now is Daenerys finding out that Jon's a Targaryen,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and her being like, all right, you can have half the realm,
yeah.
Or hey, let's get married.
Yeah.
It could be, hey, let's get married and just have the realm, we'll control it together.
There you go. None of Jorah has anything to say about it.
Yeah. It's a little too early for a happy ending for Jon and Dany, I think.
I think so, too.
We shall see. So, Varys comes in and interrupts this little tete-a-tete with news like, dismiss them, the Ironborn have been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
We get the news delivered.
Yeah, and then you get this nice... When they go out, when...
the cliff chat?
Tyrion goes out to the cliff chat.
Yeah.
And just, I love that he... There's some great Tyrion moments in this episode. I feel like we haven't laughed at Tyrion jokes in a while.
Yeah.
And this was... He was really funny in this episode.
He was.
That was nice to see. Him, like, poking fun of Jon.
And quoting himself as a wise man once said.
Yeah.
And Daenerys actually calling him out on that.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
I feel like I'm failing at brooding, or at failing.
Yeah.
It was good.
That reminded me of, like, Sansa calling out Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this chat. Jon telling us, the viewers, that Jon is now, like, a prisoner, pretty much. They kind of took his ship, I guess, and they've sort of got him there. He doesn't have a way to leave. At the moment, But Tyrion started giving him that, like, well, coming here, you asked something crazy. You can't just show up and be like, hey, there's an evil monster dude up north, and I need you to help me. Like, yeah. he needs to make friends, he needs to do something, and he asks, how do people believe me?
Work with me here, John. Come on, baby steps.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's nice that they have this friendship, because otherwise I don't think John would get this olive branch that Tyrion is extending.
No.
But John does tell him, and I wasn't sure if John was going to reveal what he really wanted for a little while, because that's kind of the trump card. You don't tell everything you know, right? Mm. But he tells Tyrion that he wants the dragonglass, which Tyrion immediately takes to Daenerys, and they have this conversation about it.
Yeah. Just give it to him. And I noticed that she said to him personally, you can have the dragonglass as much as you need, but also she said you can have that and men. We will give you as much...
Well, meant to mine the dragonglass.
Just to mine it?
Just to mine it.
Okay.
That's what I got from that, too.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But maybe there's some foreshadowing there.
Yeah.
But we also get Daenerys asking Tyrion, what you were saying before, what we shall not talk about, is Jon Snow dying. She kind of goes, he took a knife to the heart. What was that all about?
What was that?
What was that conversation?
Yeah,
because, you know, Daenerys is a smart one. So she's able to kind of pick up on, oh, they didn't want to talk about something. I bet it actually drew more attention to it because he was like, shut up. Yeah. Shut up. And was like, uh-oh, what was that?
She's like, you're being withholding.
Yeah, let me know.
She's like, I'm in charge of everything. I must know.
I think she will know eventually.
Yeah. Davos has totally been our, like, obvious guy lately. I think, like, was it last episode? He was like, wait a minute. Daenerys has dragons and they breathe fire and fire takes out whites. Oh. And now he's like, wait, he's going to die. Oh, no, I mean, I didn't mean to say that. He's
that's kind of perfect.
Flood over here.
Yeah, it's perfect for his character, though, because he's just. He's from Flea Bottom. He has the, like, he's the Onion Knight. He's not a very royal guy. He's just like, well, I call it like it is. Jon Snow, he's the king of the north.
I feel like every day he wakes up, he's like, I'm alive today. I thought a king was going to kill me yesterday and the day before and the day before that. So I think he's just grateful to be alive. And so he just talks freely with everyone that he meets. And he's appreciated for it.
He's always been the man that can, like, he's like, I would take him with me as my wingman to the club, you know, like
he should
meet my friend Ryan. He's the best man I've ever met. He saved my life more than once. You know, like you just
and he's Scottish now.
He always, yeah, I know. Well, he's got like a Brooklyn Davos.
That's what I talk about. I would have got stabbed for fingers on the Onion Knight.
Like what? Will they fight about it?
So okay. We have so Varys brings in the news and Daenerys. Her knee-jerk reaction is, I'm going to take these dragons. Where's Euron's fleet? I'm going to fly over them and burn the hell out of them.
Yeah.
It sounds like a solid plan to me. I was thinking about that during the episode. I'm like, when the Lannister army was approaching later and the boats and everything, I'm like, just find out where they are and just fly over and just burn them because there are no innocents attached to that.
They just teased the idea of multiple people riding dragons because he goes, who would you go with? She's like, well, I'd go with my dragons. He's like, but who else? And I immediately started picturing, like, all right, who's going to ride the other two?
Well, I thought, like, oh, the problem is they have an atomic bomb, but the president has to ride the atomic bomb to where they're going, right?
And we do have Missandei say all it would take was one arrow. And I think she was talking about Daenerys.
Yeah.
But as we know,
yes,
we have the arrow that's like, going to kill the dragons. I was like, Missandei knows about the big crossbow. Oh, wait.
No, yeah.
I think they do need to get more riders. I think they need to get on top of that, figure out how to ride those dragons.
Okay, who's riding who? Go.
No one's in training right now.
Daenerys and Drogo.
This is what I want. What I want is Jon on one of them and Tyrion on the other.
I think that's what most people want.
Yeah. I really want to see Tyrion ride a dragon. I think that'll look so... Especially there's the yellow dragon, too, right? Mm. So that'll match him.
Bros on Dros.
Kind of like the white gold.
Yeah.
I
don't think Jon
Bros on Dros
look very good on the dragon, except for Drogon, but that's the queen's dragon.
Well, I want Jon riding Ghost into battle.
Yeah.
Ghost is probably getting pretty big by now.
Yeah, Ghost did not make the trip to Dragonstone. I kind of wanted to see him show up and Daenerys be like, that's your pet?
He should have brought Ghost to show off Ghost, but I don't know.
Have the dragons drop him
from the
air.
Not in the budget.
Yeah.
So Now we go to the attack on Casterly Rock.
Yes.
Here. We sort of have the opening of it being explained by Tyrion Lannister here.
Love
He's
how
like,
they do this.
They know we're coming. This is an obvious move. They know we're coming. They're going to be prepared for it. We're going to breach their walls. There's going to be a lot of deaths. And then he flips it and he's like, what you didn't know is that I built the sewers and I know the way in the back door.
Did you notice that little shot that they showed of the bed, the little bedroom coming up out of the sewer?
I did not notice.
It was like real quick and it was like, oh, Tyrion's like...
They just popped out of
that
there.
That was his boom boom room right
there. Tyrion's boom
Tywin
boom
kept
room.
His boom boom room after he left. I feel like that would be...
Tywin didn't know about it.
It was by the sewers.
Oh, yeah, it was a secret room, too.
I would love if Grey Worm came out of there and said, we have reached the boom boom room.
So the Unsullied once again sneak in through the sewers of a castle. I feel like they do this every time they invade a castle. But they come in, they take out the man a little too easy. There's a little too few Lannisters around. Mm-hmm. And then it turns on us. And we find out that Cersei, once again, is no one to be fooled with.
Yeah.
We look out and Euron ships are taking out the Unsullied ships.
Yeah, and this whole
sequence.
Wow,
this surprised me. I was caught off guard by this.
And they also got there rather quickly. But, talking about that. Go on. I'm sorry.
I think they were waiting. Because I think what we were seeing was master chess players here.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think we were seeing someone make a move, but then they were waiting for them to come out. I think, Greyjoy, Euron was probably hiding somewhere, which is why he seemed like he appeared
on the horizon. Yep.
Yeah, and meanwhile, because it takes the same couple of months to get where they're going, if we're going to talk about time, but they're at, they go to Highwater. They go to the
Highgarden.
Highgarden.
I thought that was brilliant. And you also see Randall Tarly riding right behind him, so he's made his choice, right? I mean,
he looks like it.
But he marched on the Tyrells. We weren't sure if he was going to, but he did.
You know who I was bummed on seeing that was Bronn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to see Bronn there on that side.
I know.
Why not? He's with the Lannisters.
I want him to be with Tyrion, though.
Yeah.
I want him to kind of...
Oh.
I want him to eventually get with Tyrion and have that buddy-buddy friendship again.
Hopefully we get to see that choice on screen.
He kind of made a friendship with Jaime, though. I mean, they went on adventures together.
Yeah, but in between Jaime and Tyrion, I think he would still go with Tyrion, I would assume.
Amber, let us know if the chat room is...
yeah, what are they chatting about over there?
So, a few people pointed out that dragons don't need a rider.
That's true.
I don't need one.
Just like a horse.
Maybe it's
less of a
risk to have riders on dragons that are going to be shot at.
I think you still need someone to kind of guide them. Otherwise, they're just going to find the nearest.
Well, Dany's
goat.
Their leader, so and Drogon is the leader of the two lesser dragons.
Doesn't she need to give commands though?
Well, that's what it is. I think it's like you have these dragons, and if you want just utter chaos, just let them go, and they'll cause chaos. But if you need like pinpointed dragon attacks on certain areas or certain things, you need a rider on there to tell that dragon, hey, we need to go take out that, we need to go take out X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Otherwise, the dragons are just going to fly around just killing anything.
Yeah, so far, all we've seen Drogon do is just lay waste. All she says is Dracarys, and then they just burn everything.
Just burn it all.
Oh, just
but
okay,
maybe
burn.
She has to be there for that to happen.
Yeah, that one right there.
So apparently the Lannister army just easily defeats the Tyrell army, and which caught me a little. But they explain it away that the Tyrells
are too good to be true.
Exactly, the Tyrells aren't fighters. They
say.
That's
they just kind of walked up in there. That's exactly what it looked like. They were just riding into there, and then suddenly Jaime walks up in the castle. I mean, she didn't even have a protector at her door or anything.
You guys don't like jump cuts. That's what's happening. It's just jumping ahead for like a couple of hours, and
they
missed the whole battle.
They showed piling the bodies.
Exactly.
There was a fight.
Exactly.
There was a giant battle. It was just off screen.
The House of Flowers has lost many of their fighters over the years. They used to have good fighters. They're all dead now.
Yeah. Yeah,
their house has been compromised.
There
for
wasn't
years.
Even someone at her door though that bothered
because
me
they because they all were fighting on the wall and then they got killed.
And she knew it was over.
It didn't really matter at that point.
Matter.
Yeah,
she had given up.
Thought for a second
she didn't
was
have left and right with her.
Thought for a second she was going to pull a Tommen when they pulled out on that high high window scene. Yeah,
I kind of love this conversation between Jaime and Olenna.
Yeah,
and Olenna saying like, I knew all this stuff, but what your sister has that I didn't was imagination.
Yeah.
She's like, I had a lack of imagination.
I kept wondering when she was going to drop that bomb about the... about
Joffrey. You killing knew Joffrey. That was going to happen, yeah.
You knew, I knew it. I knew it was going to be said, and she was just going to say it and let it... Or he was going to say that he knew somehow, but we, you know...
I think that was pretty cool, because us as... social media savvy people and whatnot. Like, we checked out all the pictures, we freeze framed it, we zoomed in at like Sansa's little bead missing and everything. So we kind of knew that, but I feel like a more casual viewer was probably still like, oh, I didn't really know who killed him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like there was a moment where she basically said
She admitted, she's like, you really think I wouldn't let you marry that monster? She admitted to Margaery pretty much.
Yeah, it was Margaery.
Pretty much.
Yeah, she was like, well, come on, you think I'd let my granddaughter marry a monster like that? We knew that she
right. I think we knew.
Did anybody else think that Jaime gave her the strangler, like she gave Joffrey?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't because I knew that he didn't know that she was responsible.
I thought he was going to pull out a, because Olenna's like, tell Cersei, and I thought Jaime was going to pull a, she already knows. But it was kind of nice to see the Queen of Thorns sort of go out in a respectful way, right. I guess.
Someone in the chat said Lady Olenna had the last word, literally. And I was like, yeah, she did.
Yeah. Which is awesome for her character.
And
but
the chat's very upset that Jaime wasn't more cruel to her, apparently.
Yeah, that was what I was waiting for. I was waiting for him to just kind of pull out the left-handed sword.
He still killed her, guys.
He did.
Yeah, but she just admitted to killing your son. Like, it was obvious, a very big shock on him that went over his face. You could see it when they zoomed into his face.
But what else is there to be done? He already mourned his son. His son's gone.
What else is there?
But I was expecting... I mean, it just goes to show what kind of fortitude Jamie's kind of grown over the years. I feel like his cruelty has left him. I don't see him as a cruel person anymore.
I agree.
And because he had the wherewithal to just walk out the room, not only that, but to convince Cersei to give her a painless death in the first place, which, I mean, it just goes to show, Jaime's not his sister, and he's not really his family, although some remnants might remain.
Which we think will be the death of him.
Probably.
I mean, it might have already been because he let Tyrion go. I mean, you got to remember that he already... That was his choice to let Tyrion, like, flee. And he is already kind of showing some mercy. But you also have to remember, he did throw a kid out the window.
Yes.
Season 1.
That was a long time ago.
But
he still did it.
But when it comes to Cersei, though, I think you're right. He just flips. He doesn't even think. He just
He's only loyal to the people he loves. His sister, his brother... And himself.
But especially his sister. I think he will do anything his sister says because he's just head over heels in love with her. And it will, I think that's going to be.
He'll do it, but he'll do it his way.
Yeah. So, guys, we did not actually see her die. So
that's
we have to ask the question. Quick show.
Well,
do you think she's dead?
Amber and I thought at first that she wasn't because we talked about how the Sand Snakes had an antidote that she maybe could take. But then on the next on, it said we saw Dany saying all my allies are gone. So that kind of confirms it for me that Lady Olenna is dead, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's dead. If she doesn't die,
awesome.
The Lannisters have the castle.
I was a little hopeful, but she also seemed to accept it very quickly.
I think she did.
She did.
Guys, before Euron attacked the Unsullied, we have him dragging the captives through King's Landing up into the throne room, giving the gift to Cersei of her enemies. And then it does not go well immediately for Ilaria and Sand Snake number 3.
First impression, look at the balls on this guy. First of all, I haven't seen anyone ride a horse into the Iron Throne, to
King's Landing,
the throne room.
There you go.
The Red Keep.
Not since Tywin rode in after the
Blackwater. And so, I mean, that shows right there. I mean, how the ego. He literally is on a high horse,
and he loves it. He loves it. This is great. He's like Tony the Tiger up there.
He entered in as the Russell Brand of Westeros, but he's actually kind of proven himself, for last episode. And this is, you're seeing that all the swagger is kind of deserved, even though he's a terrible person. And then when he walks up and he mad dogs Jaime. That, like, the way he mad dogs Jaime, and just the whole, like, oh.
How does she like it?
And so how about that, though? What do you think is going to happen when they finally have a moment alone as brothers.
Oh, I hope Jaime kills him. That's that I do hope.
Well, I don't think he'd be able to if it was just a one-on-one fight.
True. I think that's actually true.
So it's kind of like he just he and Euron knows it too. Euron knows.
Cersei's taking care of one enemy at a time.
Yeah.
Never, though, do I believe she will marry him. Obviously, she doesn't think that he'll make it through the war.
She said all your heart's desires after the war.
Exactly.
What do you...
So I don't think she intends for him to make it past the war. Even if he helps her win the war, she would have him killed afterwards.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he desires death. Because that's coming for you.
I missed something, actually, right before we went to this scene. We have a short scene of Theon being rescued.
Right.
Or being brought up from the water. I thought all the Greyjoy ships were gone.
I thought Yara was dead for sure, but she's still being tortured.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And Yara's they did say that we've lost all but three ships, I think.
Oh, they did say that? Okay. Yeah. So Theon has been picked up by his people, and they don't believe him.
Looking blue.
Or they see the real Theon slash Reek and what he did. They see through his lies.
We tried to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit, saying, you know, he had a somewhat of a plan, you know, to get picked up. Hey, guys, come on, we gotta go back to Dragonstone and tell Daenerys what happened. Like, no, he just lays there on the ground, wet, soggy.
I think what you said last week, I was listening to it, and you said he, like, reeked out.
He did, he reeked out a little bit.
He reeked out? I think he just went on full reek.
Full on reek?
Yeah. Yeah, which is unfortunate, but also, he's human. And,
he has, like, the equivalent of, like, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Exactly. Can't move.
He's been tortured and brainwashed and... everything.
I kind of hope
he's mush up there sometimes.
I kind of hope he goes to the wall. I think that's his next. I think that he should quit trying to be a Greyjoy and just join the Night's Watch because they need the men.
Yeah.
And also, I've kind of turned on him and I don't mind him so much. And I think he could be helpful as part of the Night's Watch.
I think this point, though, we have to see him die for Yara. I think that's the only thing left for him to do.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a fairy tale.
So Yara is still alive, and it doesn't seem at the moment that Cersei cares all about her too much, because she's playing with her other gal pals.
Her toys.
Here.
Yeah, I think with Ilaria and is it Tyene? Is the other the surviving sand snake?
Maybe.
It's the favorite one.
Yeah.
It's the actual door. It's Ilaria's actual door.
Yeah, and it's, man, that scene was tough. And it was also, but you can kind of understand where Cersei was coming from in that terrible way.
Yeah. So we don't have too much time, and we still have a few things to hit, so let's kind of hit these plot points.
I will
here.
Say, though, I was surprised at what she decided on, just to have the mother watch her.
Yeah.
Over the years, turn into dust.
That was great. I also think that using the same poison, I think, was a good move. And but it did make me think, as you guys were talking about before, maybe this would be a way for her to survive if they've gained up a tolerance. But then I remembered that we did see Ilaria, even after kissing, after using it before, taking that antidote, like Cersei does. So you can tell that there is not a...
There's no escaping the long farewell.
There's also no escaping the Iron Bank of Braavos.
Boom!
Yeah.
Oh,
nice segue,
man.
Kyle.
But we find in this scene that Cersei has a way with words, and it seems like the bank is now on her side.
I love that they worked in the house theme of... She's like, got this really strong monologue, and she's like, you will work for me, you will work for me, you will work for me. You know why you'll work for me? Because a Lannister always repays their debts. And I was like, boom! Because I always hated that saying for that house. Like, it's such a lame saying. They made it sound cool.
But they set it up to pay it off.
Yeah. So how exactly is she going to pay off those debts?
That's the question I had.
By the time he gets back.
But that's why I knew the Tyrells were doomed by the end of the episode.
Because she's stealing from them.
I knew it was going to either be this episode or the next one that she was going to go right after the Tyrells, because that was opening it up for that's how she's getting her money.
That's how she's getting her money? Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes absolute sense.
I love that.
Cersei is more powerful once again. So, I mean, even in the sides, and I think they're doing a great job of showing that. But then we go down to Old Town, and Jorah is cured.
Woo-hoo! That happened very fast.
Which was also the right now. But we're not talking about that.
That showed that months have passed.
No, because remember he said, I'll give you one day? Remember the Archmaester said, I'll give you one day. How you choose to spend that day is up to you. right? Remember? And he gave him the point at the sword to elude.
Oh, damn, you're right.
One day, healed. He is a, Sam has proven to be a really good maester.
And Jorah is like Wolverine, I tell you.
Well, I think it was also, that was a terrible night that they left. I also would, hey, you just cured it, especially if it was one day. Yeah. I would be like, okay, cool, you look cured. Wait a week. Let's just wait and see what happens before you start shaking people's hands and leaving this room.
Yeah, the double handshake.
Yeah,
the double. And you know, just to jump to, we predicted. I think as Amber predicted that there would be dire consequences, perhaps for Sam. It looks like his only punishment is that he's going to be able to read old, knowledgeable scrolls and like absorb more. I mean,
he was looking nervous though. He's like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to die tonight. And he was like, you should be proud. Now clean these books and be careful of the fleas that will eat your skin. And he was like, oh, but I'm like, hey, it's not that bad.
Plus,
it sounds like you've elevated. You're going up the ladder.
I guarantee he's going to like learn something from one of those old scrolls that will help him in the future. Right?
Up in Winterfell, we have Sansa running the show, doing a good job. We need more food. We got to put leather on that. She is taking charge. She is showing how awesome she is. She's just kind of setting it up.
Yep.
But we get this little conversation with Littlefinger. Kind of telling her you got to plan for everything. Don't just look at one thing. Plan for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and expect history to repeat itself, and everything's gonna turn again. And then at that moment, her goth brother comes back.
Bran shows up, and Bran just
didn't see that coming.
He's like,
he doesn't care about.
He
anything.
Just discovered the cure and Morrissey, and is just all. It feels like he's all of a sudden just like, I'm the three-eyed raven. Call me the three-eyed raven. Can't I just say Bran? No.
I was just like, Bran, you still have use of your arms. Give your sister a hug, man. Come on.
He didn't even like lean forward at all.
He's cold, guys.
Me and the chat are both very disturbed by Bran's presence being nothing short of being completely tranquilized.
Yeah.
Just all gothed out.
I think he's
seen some stuff.
Yeah, and I also
through the ages
think that he's now replaced the three-eyed raven, so he's starting to lose his humanity a bit. I think that's what's happening to him, but it does seem like he's just become goth. Like, all of a sudden.
So what's his role going to be there?
I think his role is he says he's getting ready for the darkest night. So it sounds like he's almost getting ready for the next worst thing. And he's also going to be the advisor who can see all over the place. He could see where the Night King is. He could see where all of their enemies are. So he's going to be very useful if they use him right.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like he's going to become kind of a catch-all, unfortunately. I hope we'll see.
Well, the thing is, I kind of hope they keep with the he has to be by a werewood in order to do it.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I think he's just going to hang out with that werewood, and he might become part of that werewood.
I know we don't have much time, but I've got to ask, why does no one talk about these werewoods? Like, what's the deal with these trees that have faces on them and the old gods? Like, isn't that... If you were just walking around, like, that tree has a face on it, and it's totally bleeding from its eyes.
Well, that's why a lot of them got cut down.
Yeah,
because there's superstition, right?
A lot of them, like, you won't find them very much in the South or whatnot. There's a few here and there, but they got chopped down.
That was addressed a lot in season one.
Yeah, and they're just seen as, like, shrines to the old gods. So a lot of people have been like, oh, that's just an old statue, a wood statue that's right there.
Well, so they assume someone carved it, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Someone carved it, and it's just that way, while other people see it as a holy landmark.
Got it. Okay.
So you are the last living Stark... The eldest living Stark child thing, you're going to be Lord of Winterfell. And he's like, nah, three-eyed raven. The show's just like,
I'm going to start a band.
Get that out of your head. He's just the three-eyed raven.
We are the three-eyed ravens.
So there's no chance he's going to be Lord. He doesn't want it.
I'm J-Lo.
Can you turn down the lordship? Can you just say, I don't want this?
Sure.
He did. He just did, Kyle. He just did.
Well, there we go. Sansa was quick to kind of give it up there.
Yeah,
I'm curious about how they're going to address it. If the other people are going to be like, "Oh no, we have to listen to Bran now," but I don't think people are going to say that. I think they're still going to be like, "No, let's keep listening to Snow."
Yeah,
let's keep. He came back from the dead. He's pretty cool. This kid's. I don't get him at all anymore. He keeps calling himself the Three-Eyed Raven.
Guys, let's jump into predictions.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's hit these lights. Let's go to Discoville.
It looks
yeah. I love it. So Halloweeny.
I think that Dany is changing her plan, it looks like, next week. From what we saw, seems like she's upset that she's losing her allies, and she realizes that she can't fight Cersei the way she was planning to, and she's not going to, it seems like, listen to Tyrion as much anymore with his little games.
I don't think so. I think it's just you lose one match, but I think it is going to be more of a discussion. She might bring out the dragons faster than Tyrion would like her to.
She said, like, in the next song, she's like, I'm sick of these clever plans or something like that, and it made me think that she was sort of, like, going astray from what Tyrion has been telling her.
Well, look, she's lost her navy, and it seems like maybe her Unsullied are kind of lost at the moment, too. I mean, she came with so many options. She tried to play the hesitant, conservative route. Maybe it is time that she just starts breathing some fire.
What do you guys think she's going to do?
King's Landing?
Just attack it?
It might be. With all the innocents? It might be. I mean, the thing is, she's trying to prevent that, but everything that they're doing is drawing her near it. Which could be a problem, because King's Landing is where that giant crossbow is.
Yeah.
And I think if they're going to have the crossbow anywhere, it's going to be there.
Do you think that that Dorne is going to come into play at all?
I mean, turned over Dorne on the map. So I almost feel like, oh, we lost the leaders that we have, so Dorne is not even in play anymore.
Well, I think it's the same thing they said about the Unsullied, is that eventually the Unsullied are just going to have to march across the country, which is the same thing for the Dornish if they want to join the fight.
Yeah,
they're going to have to march, and it's going to take a while.
They can't teleport like they can on sea.
Yeah, only certain armies can teleport.
Only lords can teleport.
Is Dany going to let Jon go?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 3, The Queen's Justice. God, I hate that, Cersei. My name's Kyle Matic. You can find me, guys, at Kyle Matic on Twitter.
You can follow me at Cinematic Escape everywhere. I'm Kristen Snyder. Thanks for joining us.
And you can follow me at Mr. Dave Child on Instagram or Twitter, or go to DaveChild.com. I'm Dave Child. Ryan, who are you?
Valador Harris. I'm Ryan Malady. You can follow me at Ryan Malady. Check out my Snapchat. We're always snapping behind-the-scenes stuff back here, and we have a nice... the Game of Thrones theme song.
You can see Instagram stories on mine, Snapchat on his, two cameras.
Bum, bum, ba, ba, ba.
Amber.
Still in the chat, guys. Still in the chat. I'm here with you guys. Thanks so much for watching, guys. My name is Amber Plaster. You guys can keep up with me at Amber Plaster on Twitter and Instagram.
And if you guys are enjoying this, make sure to click that like and subscribe button. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're listening to us on iTunes, subscribe. Keep listening. We'll be back here each week for Game of Thrones, and we'll see you next time.
Woo!
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.